What is that lawyer thinking, allowing his client to go on the air with Bob Costas? We want to find out the answer to that and a couple other things with a guy who's been very, very helpful and informative for us. He is Eldon Ham, the Scores legal expert, a lawyer himself, of course. Eldon, thanks for your time.
Hi, guys. My pleasure. Anytime.
All right. So I'm going to throw a couple different possibilities at you because they've all come up with us and you're the guy who would know. Number one, first thing I thought last night, he's trying to somehow taint the jury pool. Is there any profit to that? Any chance that's in his mind?
I think in a way. I'll tell you what I think could have happened.
Okay.
Certainly this breaks conventional wisdom. Normally you say, shut up, don't say anything, and you take it from there. I don't think he's going to testify at trial, because if he is, all this will come right back at him. He'll have to defend it himself in person at trial, but we don't know. But what I think could be happening is this. They know that they have a remarkable home court advantage in State College, Pennsylvania. Anybody, let me say it this way. I think what could have happened is that they took the pool of people who want to believe in Jerry Sandusky and last night tried to give them a reason to. In other words, in that campus, in that area, there are so many people. We saw the students rioting and all the rest of it. A lot of people want to believe this guy. And if they give him a reason, like they hear him say he didn't do it, and then imply that they have some of these kids recanting already, then they can plant that seed and maybe at least get enough people believing that they can have mistrials, if not not guilty verdicts. So that is a possibility.
Okay, so maybe that's the thought process. Is there anything where sort of intentionally he's allowing his client to look bad, to set up either, I know it sounds crazy, but a mental illness defense or some set up grounds for appeal or these kind of things to get all this stuff out there in some intentional way that doesn't make sense on the surface?
Well, he might be trying to taint enough with a national presentation so that he could argue that if the prosecution wants this case moved someplace else, that he'd say, look, everybody has the same opinion everywhere. We want to keep it here in State College, PA. I know what you mean. I don't know that he's sandbagging it that much to try to win something later. If he is, it's pretty risky. If what we hear is true, that this sort of suddenly came up, I don't know if it sounds like a well-thought-out plan, but nonetheless, it is what it is. I will say this about innocent until proven guilty, because we hear that a lot when you get cases like this, the high-profile cases. It's overused and misunderstood. Innocent until proven guilty does not trump the First Amendment. All of us, newscasters, reporters, experts, just human beings, are entitled to our opinions. That's all they are, is opinions. But until he's proven guilty in a court of law, that's the only place that standard really and truly applies.
That's interesting. So we could say whatever we want about him. We're all protected by the Constitution.
Well, as long as it's your opinion. You know, if your opinion is, this guy seems like, more than likely than not, that he must have done it. All things, all common sense facts at hand that we know, you're entitled to your opinion.
Let me ask you this, Eldon. Was there anything that Jerry Sandusky or his lawyer said last night that was an admittance of guilt or of a crime?
Well, they certainly admitted way, way too much. The fact that he was in the showers, the fact that some things happened, and then he went on to recount some specific things.
Yeah.
Touching the leg, horsing around. Look, anybody who knows teachers, and I know several, knows that there's no chance, even at, say, a high school level with older kids, you're not going to get the coaches in there showering with the kids, especially one at a time. It just doesn't happen. You're going to get fired for doing that. I'm not sure it's a good excuse. And certainly, as we know in the law profession, when people are willing to admit a little bit, generally there's a whole lot more beneath the surface.
But understood. But is that the initial defense thought? Like, look, we'll admit to everything except the sexual activity, and so everybody's just lying about that last step. Is that a possible effective defense?
I don't think it's effective. It might be if there's one witness. You know, you can attack one witness and say, look at this, the guy, I don't know why he's lying, maybe he's got it in for me, maybe he doesn't like me, maybe there's a million reasons why he's lying. But at least 10 people we have here are actual firsthand witnesses, the eight victims, plus a janitor who saw one act, and Aquarius saw the other act. That's at least 10. So it doesn't sound like that would be a very convincing argument.
Eldon, you've seen a lot of people on the stand in your time. Anything that Sandusky did, not so much what he said, but how he said it, repeating the question, am I sexually attracted to boys?
16 seconds before he answers that question.
Right. Oh, some of the cues he's given, do any of those things pop out at you as lies or stumbles on his part?
First of all, sometimes, at least one occasion, he didn't say, I didn't do it, I'm innocent. He would say, I would say that I am innocent. I would say that I didn't do it. And the overall body language is horrific. Kind of downplaying it, no emotion, not upset. Anybody that I've known who has been falsely accused of something, especially something fairly big, and they get their say about it, they go off. They go off on anybody who brought this up. They go off on people jumping to conclusions. It is pretty clear. Now, of course, any actor can pull that off, too, but his body language was not consistent with a wrongly accused man.
You're listening to The Score. It's the McNeil and Spiegel Show. Mac is out. It's Spiegel, Ben Finford, Jay Zawoski with The Score's legal expert, Eldon Ham.
You know, you mentioned one of the possible motivations here was so that they can try to convince whoever might be jurors in that in-state college that maybe he's not guilty of this crime. Is there any chance prosecutors try to get that trial out of state college, somewhere else?
Sure, they could try that.
It has to be in state, though, right, Eldon? So Philadelphia is the best they can get?
Yeah, we saw that. There's a precedent here in Illinois, not really a precedent, but a good famous example of Richard Speck a gazillion years ago in the 60s, a mass murderer. And they moved that thing out of Chicago. They took it all the way down to Peoria. And so that's not unusual. There were some issues in the O.J. Simpson case about where it needed to be or where it could be, and there's some talk that the prosecutors might have blown it by allowing that trial to take place in inner city L.A. as opposed to out in the suburbs someplace. So, yeah, that's got to be in their head as to whether they would do that, because the jury pool in State College PA has got to have a lot of people who are, in fact, believers, fans, people who want to believe, not bad people, just people who don't want to believe the alternative. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's amazing. I didn't think on this show that we'd get around to talking about the killer of student nurses, Richard Speck, but here we are with a corollary to a sports story. I want to ask you about the judge who reduces his $500,000 of bail with a leg bracelet, an ankle bracelet, to $100,000 unsecured. To your trained eyes, is that as abhorrent as it seems to ours, especially when you mix in the fact that she had been a volunteer for the second mile on a couple of occasions?
Yeah, it's on the edge. It's not enough that you could say, oh, that's a clear issue, but it is curious. And they may have felt that he genuinely is not a flight risk, especially with the band on the ankle band and that sort of thing, but the $100,000 is not a high level. But I don't think he's really a flight risk. I don't know where he's going to go or how he's going to get there.
You know, to follow up on that, is a person in his situation being watched, being observed constantly by police in Pennsylvania?
Well, he is now. They'll keep an eye on him now. What was happening before was apparently not. In fact, perhaps quite the contrary. The O.J. case, one of the issues was not so much police bias, which was alleged at trial, but before any of this happened, the police were fans of O.J. You know, they'd go over to the house, they'd do the good old boy thing and the backslapping and all the rest of it, even when they got called on domestic abuse issues. So you get that celebrity phenomenon in a local area like that. Some of these guys, the football guys, especially an icon like Penn State football, they're celebrities.
You know, I know how it takes a long time to build a case, and that the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania wants to be careful here because they want to get it right. How long before they can get this thing to trial and put this guy behind bars?
Well, it'll take a while, but it is in the criminal system, and those move faster, and the criminal cases do take priority. What could cloud things is whether there are federal crimes here, other issues, maybe two cases at once going on. I haven't heard anything about the feds filing anything, but you do have potential issues of these. Some of these boys going over state lines may have violated the Mann Act. There are a lot of messy things here that could complicate it. But having said that, it's not going to take forever. They may get this wrapped up in a year.
Two more quickies for you, Eldon Ham, the Score's legal expert. There's part of it that didn't air last night, and I know you've seen the transcript of this, where he says, I didn't go around seeking out every young person for sexual needs that I've helped. There are many that I didn't have. I hardly had any contact. Something like that, which seems to be a direct, if not an admission, he's delineating one group from another in kind of horrifying ways. Does that have any weight as admissible evidence at trial?
Yeah, especially if he testifies, that will be thrown in his face. He will be cross-examined. It sounds like a virtual admission, and it's why lawyers don't like these guys talking, because you think you're making one point, but in reality, you're actually making another one. When he says, I didn't seek everybody out, does that mean he only sought one out, or eight, or seven, or 20? That's the issue there. I thought Bob Costas did a great job. I've got one issue with one thing that he said. He said, you might remember this, with all of this smoke, isn't there usually some fire behind something like all of this? He asked Sandusky, I think.
Mm-hmm. He did.
I disagree with Bob. Now, I know it just kind of hit him all in the, all of a sudden, so he did a great job. But I think this isn't just a case about smoke. Smoke is usually rumor, innuendo, some circumstantial evidence. This is the fire. They actually found the fire. They got 10 people who saw this happen. 8 victims and 2 actual independent witnesses. That's fire, not smoke.
It's great stuff from Eldon Ham. And the last thing, you know, the one other possible option last night, you know, as you think about whether Sandusky and Amendola are just incredibly misguided and stupid, which is what it appears like this morning, from Sandusky's perspective, can he set up, look, I've got a terrible defense lawyer. Is he setting himself up for a possible mistrial right away because my awful defense lawyer allowed me to do that?
Yeah, well, you have to go pretty far to have that one work. And generally speaking, it has to apply to what you're doing in trial, the trial itself, which I guess could end up happening. It sounds far-fetched to me, but I appreciate why you ask it, because it was so unconventional,
right?
So inappropriate, and came so close to blowing up in his face if it didn't actually, with some of the things that he actually did say.
Remarkable. All right, great stuff. Eldon, thank you so much for your time. Been great on this case.
Anytime, guys.
Eldon Ham, Thanks, Score's Eldon. Legal expert.